you know something. When a doctor give you bad news, all you gotta do is go on and go in your secret closet and call on your doctor. Won't he hear you? Won't he be there? All you gotta do is go on your knees and say this. Come on, Dr. G.
Come on, Dr. G.
Come on, Dr. G.
Come on, Dr. G.
Won't he hear you?
Come on, Dr. G.
Sugar, diabetes.
Come on, Dr. G.
Heart trouble.
Come on, Dr. G.
Heart arthritis.
Come on, Dr. G.
Whatever you need.
Come on, Dr. G.
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 This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this privileged honor to be in your house today to hear your word. Lord, take us by your Spirit through the text and then tell of the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might not only hear the word, but understand the word, apply the word, and then receive the blessings from the word. And oh God, I thank you for every footstep directed into this place. And God, we know that you are not the author of confusion. So Lord, make clear your word, your will, and your way for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. And every believer said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise as you are seated in his presence. I want to ask the question today to the believers who know that they are a part of the royal family and have what God says. How many of you know that you have the power of attorney in your life, functioning, flowing, operating from God's vantage point to yours, but truthfully, you're not actually engaging in it? I mean, I don't want you to raise your hand, I just want you to think about it, because, you know, a whole lot of Christians miss out on the benefit of being a Christian, other than the salvation. And I've shared before in a study I did, extensive study on salvation is more than being saved. And this area that I'm going to refresh us again was in that study, and it was dealing with something that's so important. You know, you can be a part of the royal family and still not have the benefits of the royal family. And so all you have is a name that has power, but you're not getting the gain from being a part of that family. And all this that we're doing in terms of teaching and studying and praying and living right is so that we can utilize the benefits of being saved. What's the sense in being here on earth and God gives us sickness and yet we don't ever, gives us power over sickness and we don't ever utilize it? What's the sense in being here on earth and representing God and we're broke as a joke and God's got all of this stuff, houses and land and cattle and all this, and we ain't got nothing? What's the sense in being here on earth representing God and we have authority over demonic powers and spirits, and yet they roam rapidly and rampantly, not only in our communities, but many times even in us, in our families? So we've got to understand, it's more than just being saved and shouting hallelujah on Sunday and walking in defeat Monday through Friday or Saturday. So I want to revisit this issue again, how to get the Christian's power of attorney. And that's so important, because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it gets real at. This is more than just shouting and dancing on Sunday. This is being able to take authority over things. This is being able to see a change in things. This is where it really gets real at, where you can begin to see some changes happening first in you and then everything connected and surrounding you. First thing I want to look at is, what is a power of attorney? What is a power of attorney? Power of attorney, listen at this, is a legal instrument authorizing one to act as the attorney or agent of the grantor. It is a legal instrument. Now here's the word, legal. Legal, which means that is lawful. Now, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, we have this legal right that Jesus Christ has given to us, this power of attorney. Now, generally, a power of attorney is given in different forms and different ways, but the essence of it is still the same. It may be a limited power of attorney for a certain thing, whether it's to take care of land deals, or whether it's to do this or do that, whether it's for a limited time or someone to be out of the country or whatever the case, and you need someone to handle your business, and if legal matters come up within these parameters, they're given this privilege to do so. Or when someone has gotten old or someone has become incapacitated and cannot do, and they've granted someone else they trust the ability to make legal decisions for them in their stead, which means once they give them, authorize them to take legal action, they can still be alive, but they don't have to be there to do that transaction. You have the authority to do it. Now, here again, and understand this well, because this is what's important. When Jesus gave the keys to Peter and to the church and to the believers, he made it clear, whatever you bind on earth, I'm going to bind it in heaven. He made it clear, whatever you loose on earth, I'm going to loose it in heaven. He made a key clear, I'm giving you the keys. Okay, so that represented, and you go through the word, and if we have a chance to go through all of it, I would share it, but we don't. But suffice it to say, the keys represents the word. The word. Every power, every privilege, every promise is represented by keys or the word of God. Now, it's important to recognize, because as a legal instrument, that means that you have been authorized to use this word on behalf of Jesus Christ to do in his stead what he would do. Some years ago, they came up with the JD, what would Jesus do? Okay, well now, we've used that and it's kind of died down now, but that should be a reality in our everyday walk. Whenever we're met with challenges, situations, et cetera, we ought to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do if he were here? Because when he was confronted with demons, the question would be, what would Jesus do? He got rid of them. When somebody was sick, what would Jesus do? He healed them. Every situation Jesus was challenged with, all you got to do is go back in the book, see what Jesus did, and recognize, since he is not here physically, but you have been given the power of attorney, you can operate in the same stead of Jesus and do what Jesus would have done. You have the power. Tell somebody, I got the power. I know you can't get up that high, but just say, I got the power. Just let somebody know you got the power. And what you ought to be doing is letting the devil know you got the power. See, he's trying to get close to folk who ain't got the power, or who don't recognize that they've got the power, or who don't know how to operate in the power. And that's why they can't have joy in their lives, and that's why they don't have victory in their lives. They have it and don't know how to operate. It's bad. It's like getting, what you want and still not know how to use it. You know, how many of you gotten some brand new, appliance, this, that, and the other, and you got it, and you had to go through reading all the instructions before you right there before you couldn't operate it. It's like you've been driving an automatic and somebody gave you a brand new stick shift, and all you can do is turn it on. And then some of you might not know how to turn it on because you had to put your foot on the clutch first. And you're like, why this thing won't start up? It's bad, and you got the word right here and don't know how to operate in some of us. All right, let's move on to how to get to the Christian's power of attorney. Believe the gospel that everything it teaches is for you. That's important. Why is that important? It's important because the word is clear about what the word is. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Now I'm going to give you some of these. We're going to go to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Go ahead on. We're going to have to move fast because there's a lot here I want to try and cover. All right. The third chapter, 2 Timothy, third chapter, look at what verse 16 and verse 17 says. It says, all scripture, not some, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? In what? Have you gotten there yet? In righteousness. This is the word of God, in how to operate in the things that God considers right. Righteousness. That the man of God or woman of God or person of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Anything that we're going to do ought to be wrapped up in the word of God so that we can do the good works God's called us to do. And the good works are the works that Jesus himself began. And so all of those things that he himself has done, we've been given that power, and we get it through the word of God. Second thing is we have to repent and turn to God and renounce all sin and wrongdoing, because sin hinders us from being able to flow and function in righteousness. See, so it's not one thing just to know the word. You've got to be able to live the word. The word has to come alive in you. It has to come to a point and place where it breaks up that fallow ground, that all that mess and all that muck and mire and all of that, until you no longer want to be in that place, until that place where you want to say, God, forgive me, and you turn to God and renounce. You put away those things. You know, Lord, I know I used to, but I don't want to, and I'm not going to anymore. And then you begin to walk in the newness of life. So you've got to repent and return to God. And here are some scriptures, Acts 26 and 18. If you will. And again, what is most important is understanding how important your walk with God is over everything that the enemy himself tries to do. And once you're saved, don't think that the devil ain't gonna mess with you no more. Don't think that he says, okay, well, I'm gonna take them off my list now. They don't belong to me no more, so I'm gonna leave them alone. The devil has a fatal attraction with you. And the devil kind of got this attitude like, if he can't have you, all right. 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Again, to repent and turn to God and renounce all sin and wrongdoing. It's important to recognize this is the end result. This is written in red. For those of you who have a red letter edition, noting this represents what Jesus himself has said. Third thing is you have to obey the gospel and seek for the endowment of power from on high. Now that's important, very much so important. Look at Luke 11, if you will, verse 13. And if you will, jot down, we're going to just go through a few of those so we can get through. But I want you to jot down these scripture references. And when you have a little time, go through them and finish the research on that and see what it is that we're dealing with. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And then chapter 24, verse 49. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 15. And also the second chapter of Acts, verse 38 and 39. And the fifth chapter of Acts, verse 32, for those in the back who may not be able to see those scripture references there. Now, it's important, again, to see that we need, again, this great power of the Holy Ghost. Look at what the word says again. Luke, verse 11, chapter, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that what? That ask him. Now, Jesus is talking about those who are in the world and how they know how to give, being evil, being people of the world, know how to give good gifts unto their children. Even evil men know how to give their children some good gifts. Drug addicts and worldly men and all the rest of them, they know how to shower their children with some good gifts. And the word is, if they being evil know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That's so important. The Holy Ghost and the gift of the Holy Ghost is so important and powerful that God doesn't just give it to be given it. You've got to want that presence and person of the Holy Ghost functioning and flowing in your life. He's too great for God to just let him be given to someone who does not want him. And look at what, the 24th chapter of Luke, verse 49 says. It says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Now, of course, this has already come to pass because this was originally Jesus talking to the disciples and telling them to wait before they began to exercise their ministry, etc., in a worldwide effort. They needed the power of the Holy Ghost to come upon them. We see that clearly in Acts chapter 1, where Jesus tells them that after they receive the power of the Holy Ghost, they will have power, not before them. And then in the second chapter, we see that promise being fulfilled when the Holy Ghost on Pentecost comes down and he comes upon all flesh. And then that's where that actually ushered in to the earth realm the gift of the Holy Ghost to all believers. So that's already come to pass. Again, you read the rest of these chapters and verses and you'll see that. But to get the Christian's power of attorney, you've got to obey the gospel and seek for the endowment of power from on high. Now, why is this important? It's very important because the Holy Ghost is the one who actually causes you to operate, function, and flow in the power of attorney. The Holy Ghost brings back to your remembrance everything Jesus has said. The Holy Ghost activates the Word in you, and the Word produces what Jesus has authorized you to do. It's not you doing it. It's the Word of God in you that the Holy Ghost makes alive in you and brings to pass what would have been done had Jesus been there authorizing it himself. So here's what you've got to understand. With the Word of God and you being an authorized user of the Word of God, the Holy Ghost, who is the one who is the same person in the beginning in Genesis when God said, "Let there be," and the Spirit moved upon everything God said and Jesus himself as they were collectively there together, he did everything that God spoke. God said, "Let there be." The Holy Ghost took those words, woof, and created everything God said. Came on back. What else you want to say? And let that be. Woo. And he did everything that he said. Come on. What you want me to do next? Now, see, that's why you got to see the Holy Ghost right there. That's why he must be a part of your life, active in your life, because he's the only one who can activate the Word. See, I mean, you can speak in the name of Jesus, such and such and such. If the Holy Ghost ain't a part of you, because he's got to verify that you are in right relationship to use this Word. Listen, don't you think just because you present some papers and say, "I got some papers here that say I have the power of attorney to transact some action for so and so and so," that they just gonna take that paper that you have and they're not gonna go back and check to see if that is recorded in the courthouse so that it is real, active, and is a reality. See, that's your speaking is only one part of it. The other part of it is he's got to check it with heaven. Not heaven, heaven. And make sure you still connected. You can be in your house, have your cable connected to your TV. But if your bill ain't paid, they can cut you off from the other side. Have I got a witness in the house? So just because you got the Bible in your hand don't mean, and you speak it out of your mouth, don't mean that it's going to be everything it ought to be without the Holy Ghost making sure that the connection is real on the other side. So that's why it's important to make sure that you have the endowment of the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. That's why it's so important, because you can name and claim all day long. Naming and claiming without being connected don't get you nothing. The only way that becomes a reality is if you are properly connected with God himself through Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Ghost takes those words that you have spoken, that Jesus would have spoken, and create the thing that you have said. That's why it's important. Let's look at something else. How to get the Christian's power of attorney. For yield to God and walk and live in the Spirit. Romans 8, 1 through 16. We're not going to read all of that. But I want you to see that. And I want you also to see Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 26. Now, again, what's important about all of this is understanding some fundamental truths. Look at the beginning of Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no, somebody say no condemnation. Now, no condemnation means that nobody can condemn you when the Lord has saved you. There is no condemnation, great or small, listen at this, to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the record is clear. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation. All things are passed away. Well, those are the things that would have condemned you. Those are, now let me throw you out another revelation about old things. All things does not yet appear in reality the way most folks see this. When we think about old things, a lot of us are thinking about things that we did before we came to Christ. And that is true. But that's only the beginning. But let me ask you a question. What have you done since you've been saved that's still not new? If you did it yesterday, that's old thing. Matter of fact, anything that you have done that's past tense comes under old things. And old things are passed away. But now keep in mind, that's with confession connected to that, which means this, because saints miss this. We don't have a license to sin. God doesn't want us to even desire that anymore. But the truth of the matter is, he knew we would. So when Jesus paid for our total salvation, listen at this, he paid for every past sin, every present sin, and every potential sin. But here's what you don't realize. When he paid for them from that time till the time you would leave planet Earth, he paid for them and put all of them in the past. You might still be experiencing them, but the payment is past, the sin is past, the debt is paid, all that stuff is done away with. You're just going through the motions right now. So you don't have to realize, or you have to realize, and you don't have to be condemned about what the enemy has done when you've confessed your sin and turned from that, because the Lord took care of that. If he had not, you would have been saved up until the time you accepted Christ. And if you had sinned one sin after then, you'd still be condemned to hell again. So what sense did it make for him to save you? When the word songs of the word says, the words of the song say, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. That is the revelation of that truth of salvation. He paid it all. So there is no condemnation. Not for those who have repented and turned from those things and desire God. Listen, I want to live the way you want me to live. Well, when the devil tries to bring that stuff up, well, you call yourself a Christian. No, the Lord called me a Christian. I ain't call myself nothing. The things I call myself, he wouldn't call me. I wish I had a helper in the house. And that's why he saved me. And it ain't about my good or my deeds or my doings that's going to make him happy about those things. He paid for all of that. And so there is no condemnation, listen again, to those which are in Christ Jesus. The question becomes then, are you in Christ Jesus? Well, yes, I'm in him. Well, there's no condemnation then. Listen again. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. I do have a part to play in, and my part is to do the possible. His part is to do the impossible. And so when we do this together, we recognize that the enemy has no authority, no power, not even over the past, not even in the present, or not even potentially to destroy this relationship that I have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I begin to recognize, again, I yield to God and walk and live in the Spirit. And all as the word, look at Galatians 5, 16 through 26, or rather jot them down. We don't have time, but it says pretty much the same thing that we've been talking about. I want to look at another thing. The fifth thing is you have to learn to pray in faith, nothing wavering. James chapter 1, let's look at that if you don't mind. James chapter 1. Why is this important? Because so many times we pray for things, and because we don't see them come to pass immediately, we start wavering in our faith in what we prayed or believed God for. James 1, listen at verse 5, it says this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Look how simple and sure this word is. If any of you lack wisdom, any of you, who is he talking about? To the believer. Any believer, if any believer lack wisdom, what is wisdom? It is the power of God's word to not only hear it, but the ability to perform it. It is that knowledge of God to know how to move in or out of a situation. Listen to this, with success. Listen to what it says. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now listen to that word. You see, when you begin to waver in your faith, you're going to begin to waver in your speech. You see, when my faith begins to waver, then what comes out of my mouth is connected to my faith. So because I start wavering in my faith, then I start speaking negative things or things that are unsure or things that cancel out what I said originally. Now, just because some things happen in the interim doesn't mean that that's the way it's going to be in the end or the finality of that outcome. You've got to understand that when I speak a word, the devil's desire is to destroy that word before that word has developed and reached the destiny of my speaking. And so you got to realize the devil is not going to let you speak faith-filled words without him trying to destroy it. So when he might shoot one word down that you've said, you've got to be able to shoot enough word back at him that he ain't going to shoot everything down. And if it don't happen when you say or you think or you feel, you might say, well, devil, I didn't know you had that much going for you, but let me shoot some more faith at you right here now, because this thing is going to be. And listen at this. When we get caught up in what we see rather than what we say, when we get caught up in things that are of the natural rather than things of the supernatural, the devil will shake our faith by situations and circumstances that will shake our faith. I thought you were going to get this. Well, look at what happened. You ain't got it now. He said, well, then you start second-guessing God. Then you start second-guessing him about this. Well, I wonder if I missed him on this. Well, I wonder if I missed him on... And that's all the devil wants you to start wavering. Because listen at this. The word says, if you start wavering, don't think you're going to get anything from the Lord. You ain't gonna get nothing from it. Because what happens is you've recognized that you have allowed the enemy to shake your faith, and your faith don't come from Satan. Your faith comes from God. According to Romans 12:3, he's given every man the measure of faith. So if you let the devil shake what God has given to you, God said, don't come back to me thinking you're gonna get anything from me. I've given you enough faith to believe and receive for what it is you've asked for. And God takes his faith serious, very seriously. And so when you don't recognize that the enemy is trying to take you off course, shake you up so that you start speaking a different thing. Because when you start speaking, listen, I got news for you. The devil can't cancel out what you say, only you can. He can try and curve what you say, but he can't cancel out. You're the only one who can cancel it out by negative and doubting and wavering faith. And so that's why the word is clear. Don't think you're going to get anything from God. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I said this, but oh Lord, maybe it's this. That's double-minded. That's not single-minded. Single-minded is God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's it. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I hear. I'm telling you what God said. I'm holding on to that. Yeah, you knock me down, devil, I'm going to get on up, dust myself off. I'm still going on. You have slowed me down, but you've not turned me around. I'm still going. And if I can't make a step, I'm going to stay right here till I get some strength. I'm not turning back. Double-minded. It's a total sellout. Why can I can't go nowhere else. This is where, and if you can't go forward, you need to hold your ground. And just say, Lord, you said it. Lord, you said it. I know the devil want me to think something else, but Lord, you said it. If you can't say nothing else, just say, Lord, you know. Lord, you know. Just hold on to Lord, you know. Don't let the devil introduce doubt in your mind, because you won't get anything from the Lord. Look again. Have faith in your mission in life to fully represent God. Let's look at this. Acts 1 and 8. Again, this is where that power comes in. Now, you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, which is so important, because as a